Hello, my name is Byron Palongbrit. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia, True Vine Baptist Church. I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, titled Shepherd Evangelists. We don't usually think of the shepherds at the birth of Christ as evangelists, but as we will see, they certainly were, and would speak of these events and the birth of the Messiah child named Jesus for the rest of their lives. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at bbfohio.com. And now we begin our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, titled Shepherd Evangelists. This is part one of two.
And if you're wondering if I run her to death like that at home, I do. It's, you know.
It's a small place.
Yeah, we do live in a tiny house, so she didn't have far to run. Half. Yeah. Yeah. Tiny homes. All right. Let's get into our current events update. Sodom versus Christians. We've talked about this stuff before, but here's a story from... This is from a Sodomite publication called The Advocate. And it's headline, it's Trump admin urges Supreme Court to approve anti-trans discrimination. That's a lie. And... So what we want to look at is we're going to compare The Advocate to a Christian organization who is involved in this, and we'll see the difference between truth and lies. Now, The Advocate isn't a mainstream publication. It's a Sodomite publication. You don't want to look at the ads. You don't want to go to the classifieds. Put it that way. It's very Sodom-oriented. But the same thing you're reading here by this biased publication I found on mainstream news, so-called, like Time Magazine and others. They were saying the same thing, and it's a lie. Here's the story. Donald Trump's administration is urging the Supreme Court to rule that it's legal to fire employees for being transgender. That's a lie. What the Trump administration is urging is the Supreme Court recognize and protect the rights of Christian business owners to not have men dressing like women and working for them. The U.S. Solicitor General Noel Francisco, who is part of the Department of Justice, filed a brief to that effect Friday afternoon. That's a lie. The Washington Blade reports. It comes in the case of Harris Funeral Home versus Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. See, the government is being used by the Sodomites to come against Christians. And so the federal government and the Department of Justice is standing up for Christians. That's the difference between Donald Trump and anybody the Democrats are running right now. Donald Trump is standing and defending the rights of Christians. Amen. Every single Democrat in office would be against the Christians in this case, and in most cases. He says it's over the company's firing of a funeral director, Amy Stevens. That's a lie. Amy is not his real name, and he's not a woman. After her gender transition, that's a lie. When you hear people talk about gender transition, he's still a male. He still has male DNA, male chromosomes. So it's a lie. The owner said she, which is a he, violated the dress code by wearing women's clothing. The high court will hear the case October 8th this year. So remember that in your prayers. Now, I won't get into all the details, but...
What date was it?
October 8th, coming up. Now, I won't get into all the details, but here's what happened. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a good thing done wrong. The Civil Rights Act, the government usurped authority they do not have. The government does not, constitutionally speaking, but it just in the matter of human rights. If you have a restaurant and you want to serve whites only, you have a right to do that. And the government does not have the right to come in and tell you who you will allow into your own private property. Now, if there was a restaurant down the road that said whites only, would I eat there? No, I wouldn't. And that's how it's supposed to happen. People who have that kind of establishment go out of business because the people do the right thing. But our Constitution does not allow for the government to tell you that if you have a rental property, you have to rent it to a couple of sodomites. Because, folks, we're all grown-ups here. They rent that place, and they have sodomite sex in your property and on your furniture if it's a furnished place. And it's disgusting. And if I have a rental place, I do not want sodomites renting my place and doing what they do in my property. But because of the Civil Rights Act, they not only said you have to rent it to blacks or Hispanics, or if you're black, you have to rent it to a white, you know, all that. But now they're using the same premise to force Christians to open their private property up to sodomites renting or doing whatever. And in this case, it's a funeral home where you have a relative that dies, and you got this relative spread out in a coffin, and in comes Fred in a dress, and he's one of the directors of the funeral home. Now, how comforting is that going to be? Yeah. And that's what this Harris Funeral Home is fighting to protect the integrity of their business. And they're using the Civil Rights Act to do it. So here, let's flip it. The other one was Sodom versus Christians. Now let's look at Christians versus Sodom. Here's how you and I see this thing. And this is how the Christian business owner, Harris Funeral Home, sees it. Alliance Defending Freedom. We support them with a monthly gift. And then if we ever need their services, we can count on them. Now, it's got to be for legit reasons. But you see on the back wall back there, right behind Doug, we've got a little flyer on the wall. And from time to time, we're going to post things back there about things they're doing. But this is one of them. Alliance Defense, it used to be called the Alliance Defense Fund. And they changed it to Alliance Defending Freedom. But that's the man, that right there. He's the funeral home director who is being sued by our government. His name, Tom Ross. He said, when Tom Ross' grandparents started Harris Funeral Homes in 1910, they never could have imagined that their funeral home would one day be at the center of a U.S. Supreme Court case. But that is exactly where it will be on October 8th, 2019. In 2013, Harris Funeral Homes parted ways with a male employee, Anthony Stevens, who had worked as funeral director for 6 years and wore the men's suit that the funeral home provided before insisting on dressing and presenting as a woman when working with grieving families. The government EEOC sued Harris Funeral Home, seeking to use this case to redefine what the word sex, in quotes, in federal law means. They want it to mean gender identity.
Amen.
So while the government has since changed its position, see, the government now has backtracked because there's no longer a liberal Democrat in office. But now the ACLU's picked it up. And the ACLU is continuing to argue that Harris Funeral Homes must be punished. For the past 6 years, this case has been working its way through the courts. You imagine running a business and having to deal with the government suing you. When they drop out, the ACLU picks it up, and for 6 years, fighting this thing. Well, the good thing is, because of the Alliance Defending Freedom representation, and they filed a brief with the Supreme Court on August 16th, the Harris Funeral Home has been saved tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. So that's why we support Alliance Defending Freedom, because it's expensive to fight the sodomites and the liberals in court. And so if we ever have to, we'll have them, they'll have our backs. And these are the days predicted by Jesus. That's what this is all about. Jesus said in Luke 17:28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's coming. If you want to read about it, you can see it in places like Revelation 19. Verse 30, Luke 17:30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We're not quite there yet. The stage is being set. All this stuff you're saying with sodomites, redefining terminology, inventing new words, and abusing the law to attack Christians is all Satan's work in setting the stage for the Antichrist. And God said it would happen, so we know who's going to win. Amen? So there's your current events update for the morning. Let's open our Bible study now with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for this book. We are so thankful. We take it for granted many times, but we are so thankful for this source of absolute truth and infallible truth in this King James Bible. And I'm thankful to have some folks who love this book and want to come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and read it and study it. And we thank you for the opportunity. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be our guide. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to study the scene here. We picked up where we left off last time. And you'll notice the title, Shepherd Evangelists. And you'll see why I say that as we read, beginning of verse 15, if you're there. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 15, we're going to read. I want you to join me in the even verses. So I'll begin reading in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Now, you'll see there, we'll come back to it, but verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I love that. We're going to come back to that. We'll start there, picking up where we left off, and I want to show you, some of you may have never seen this, some of you have, but I just have a few pictures here of the shepherd's field, or shepherd fields, they call it, outside of Bethlehem. And this looks like something that's not even real. But it is. This is for real. This was not staged. There are areas where they have little dens, little indentures into the hills and the rocks. And the shepherds have, over the centuries, used that for shelter when needed. And you'll see, if you fly over there, and we have friends actually are over there now, I believe, you'll see flocks of sheep. Just like you would have, very similar to the way it would have been 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Now, the difference between then and now is that now if you're out in the shepherd fields or you're up on one of the hills surrounding, you'll look in, you'll see a modern city in Bethlehem. You see Muslim housing, literally Muslim housing. Bethlehem is controlled by the Palestinian Authority, and they're very hostile to evangelical Christians. But it wasn't that way when Jesus was born. But that's what you see today. But there are areas where you walk outside of town. I've seen flyovers and drone footage and everything. And it's just got some beautiful areas. But you got these old stone walls out there that have been there for hundreds of years. And some of them, they think, go back to the time of Christ in certain areas. Where that's what they used to keep the sheep in and the wolves out. Build that wall. Amen?
Amen.
Then you see things like just the areas where hundreds of sheep are just out there feeding on the grass. Bah! You know, just hanging out and talking. You know. And, huh? Yeah, you do too. Yeah, I've been around sheep in my life. I know how they sound. First of all, there's no one sound. They're like human beings. They sound different. How many different human being voices have you heard? We were just talking about how we got this new mic system because Charlie and Stephen, when they talk real deep, you know, and the microphone doesn't pick them up. And the sheep are out there saying, that's not how humans sound. But anyway, you get the picture, amen? Literally, I get the picture. And Martha, I tried to do a decent job of describing there for you. And but it does look very dry and rocky in most places, but then there are places where it's green and there's plenty of grass and things for the sheep to eat. Now, according to historical and archaeological info, the herds outside Bethlehem were for temple sacrifices. It's only a few miles south of Jerusalem. So not only were there shepherds out there like we read in our text, but those shepherds had herds of sheep that were used in temple sacrifice. This is a quote from an Alfred Edersheim. He lived 1825 to 1889. He's a Jew who became a Christian, and he became a very dedicated student of the Bible and of archaeology and history. And he says, quote, "It seems of deepest significance, almost like the fulfillment of type," and I just say it's not almost, "that those shepherds who first heard tidings of the Savior's birth, who first listened to angels' praises, were watching flocks destined to be offered as sacrifices in the temple. There was the type, and here the reality." That's amazing to think about. The very shepherds who provided the sheep that were sacrificed and the shedding of the lamb in the temple pictured the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. You had the shedding of the blood of the lamb, the real thing, but it was a type of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. And it's those very shepherds who were tending those sheep to be sacrificed in the temple that were... I just think that explains why God chose to do that. It's like we would have missed it. That there were shepherds out there just outside of the city where he was born. And those shepherds were providing the sheep that pictured the coming Christ, the Lamb of God. So since we would have missed it, he made it real obvious for us. So we pick up the scene at night. Now, here's a picture of what that would have looked like. Yeah. Yes. Amish Christmas lights. Now, Jenny and I get a little better idea, but even where we're at, it's nothing like being... You ever been out in the middle of nowhere? At night, new moon... Maybe some clouds in the sky where even the stars aren't shining. And it is dark. Hocking Hills can be like that. That's right. As a matter of fact, back in all, every August, I think we missed it this year, but every August there's this meteor shower. I can't remember what it's called. Huh?
Perseid.
Yes, that's it. And so we went down to Hocking Hills with Mike Kaler. His mom had a place down there, just a little camp. And we got out the, what do you call the lounge chairs, you know, and just laid flat looking straight up. And it was so dark when you looked around. But then you looked up and you saw all the stars, man. It's amazing. Just, that's as good as a... I've not been, you know, I've heard people say if you go out west in some places in the desert, you know, well, the Ledfords, you know, they've told me what it's like, you know. You just look like you feel like you can reach up and touch those stars. Anyway, that's what it looked like until the angels showed up. And then the angels showed up and all of a sudden they could see because the angels shone the glory round about. Can you imagine these guys in pitch dark, you know, and then all of a sudden, poof, you know, this scene. And this is a painting by a guy named Thomas Kolb depicting that, but that's why I've always pictured it like that. And so when I saw this painting, I'm like, wow, that really captures it. Because you see, look at that dark shadows where the light isn't hitting and all that. And then in the distance, you see the star. And I just think that's amazing just to even think about. And now we see the angels exiting up. They've been there, they've glorified God, they've made the declaration of the birth of Christ, and they go up. Now, look at verse 15, how it starts. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Have you ever meditated on that? Do you all know how big our universe is? We have some idea of how massive it is, but we don't know exactly how big it is. It's massive. It's huge. So first, let's imagine a host of angels leaving Earth and heading out into deep space. They're going to go beyond the edge of the universe back to heaven. And if they were traveling at the speed of light, they'd still be traveling. As a matter of fact, they still wouldn't even be able to see the far reaches of the Milky Way galaxy. They would see parts of it. They would see things starting to form. But it would be tens of thousands of years yet before they would be far enough out that they could see the whole Milky Way galaxy. And I don't know if you've seen this, but Dan, can you hit the lights for me? I want to show you this little clip. I remember the first time I saw this, I was fascinated. And I hope it's not too grainy, and I hope you can see this and can't make it pitch dark in here like it was for the shepherds. But I want you to see this. Journey to the Edge of the Universe, just a couple minute clip.
Let us travel now at the speed of light, departing from our home star on a trip across the cosmos toward the edge of the known universe. Our imaginary journey begins at midnight on January 1st, when we prepare to launch into space at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. We quickly pass the orbits of Mercury, Venus, and span the 93 million miles that separate the Earth from the Sun in just 8 minutes 19 seconds. We continue on, passing Mars, then the gas giant planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Finally, after 5 hours and 31 minutes, we race past Pluto and its companion moon. Our journey has taken us more than 3.5 billion miles to the outer limits of our solar system. And it's still January 1st. Now we alter our flight path and travel in a direction perpendicular to our galaxy. Behind us, the 9 planets and the Sun quickly vanish from sight. The emptiness of space is broken only by the light of stars so distant they do not yet appear to move. A year passes, then 2 years, 3, 4 years. Finally, on April 19th of the fifth year, we reach Alpha Centauri, the nearest star to our solar system. We have traveled more than 25 trillion miles, and our journey has scarcely begun. We are now 10 light years from the Sun, far enough out in space that the stars within our galaxy appear to converge. 100 light years from the Sun, patterns of gas and nebulous material from the arms of the Milky Way fill our view. 1,000 light years, the galaxy's arms and disk become more defined. Yet it is not until we have traveled at the speed of light for 100,000 years that the entire spiral shape of the Milky Way is recognizable. From here on, each point of light we see is no longer an individual star, but an entire galaxy composed of billions of stars. Five million years after beginning our journey, the Milky Way is seen as part of a cluster of about 30 galaxies, known as the Local Group. Fifty million light years out, we encounter the large Virgo cluster, containing more than 2,000 galaxies. And so it goes, as our travels continue to take us deeper into the cosmos. We pass cluster after galactic cluster, each a building block of a far greater framework. A billion years pass. 5 billion. Finally, after 10 billion years, we decelerate and pause to observe a theoretical view of the universe's large-scale structure. Countless billions of galaxies are now seen to comprise chains, masses, and thread-like structures that stretch across the cosmos, separated by enormous regions of empty space. It is a spectacular tapestry, so vast and diverse in its design, that the power of its creator must truly surpass all human understanding.
Now just think of this. Watch this for a second. This is the trip the angels made to get there. Instead of 15 billion years, they're there. Traveling at the speed of light. Man has, Charlie, do you know off the top of your head? I'm going to put you on the spot. I forgot to look it up. I know that's 186,000 miles per second, right? But how fast has man actually gone? Nowhere near that. It would take us a trillion years. Yeah, but a man doing that would explode.
Not anywhere close to being able to accelerate through structure.
You see how, now what I'm saying is, you can go ahead and turn those on. Thanks, Dan. You see these words, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from